Blog Talk Radio Podcast Nation. It's your boy, Andre, and I am here with the Brothers Radio Podcast. We are so excited to have you a part of our season two, and we are doing it real big. We are definitely excited to have you guys in the house, as always, and we are definitely excited to be a part of your Blog Talk Radio experience. For those of us who are listening through Apple Podcasts and through iHeart Radio, we thank you also for tuning in on tonight. We are excited as we jump in into yet another season. Kicked off with a bang. I'm so excited. Joining us all the way from the city of brotherly love, it's the one and only Javon in the building. What's going on, bro?
What's up, Tim?
How's your new year been so far?
It's been good. Yours?
Everything is going well so far. We definitely missed you last week, man. Your absence was definitely felt in the building. And so we are so glad to have you back on in the building all the way from Philadelphia. And while we're still introducing the brothers all the way from the B-More, because you got to be more careful, is none other than our residential professor
really?
Himself, Maurice, is in the building. What's up, bro?
I'm handling it. Be more careful, though. Be more careful? Really? Come on. Be more happy. be more excited.
Listen, I'm just trying to help you get ready for Sunday. That's all.
What's going on Sunday?
I don't know, but you might want to give a word on Facebook or to somebody. I'm just trying to help you get the message
prepared.
Well,
I'm going to give a word tonight, and that's all the word I'm going to give for the week. Praise
him. Damn. I know that's right. It's been a good year so far. You know, I'm excited to see, how this thing plays out. The podcast and how everything is going, our viewership and our listenership is up. So I'm excited about that, guys. And it's a lot going on, though, this year, like a lot going on. Grandma has passed away. I think the Lord has accepted one of the most realest people into the kingdom. If I could just been at the gate when she got there. I know her and Peter had a talk. Because, you know, Grandma Holla didn't have a filter.
None.
But I'm excited I'm grateful for her grandchildren for sharing her with this nation. And I don't want to talk about the negative stuff that's going on surrounding her death with the family. But I do want to just really give our condolences from the Brothers podcast. Family, because I just felt like she made a huge impact in her real, just her realness is crazy.
Right.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts? Were you guys subscribers to her page?
Unfortunately, I was not, but the clips that I got to see of Grandma Holla, I hollered. When I tell you I hollered, because she was really... I was told that when you get older, you really speak your mind. Yeah. Yeah. So I got to enjoy her while she was here. There was a lot of things. She made me laugh, a lot of things, but she was, Grandma Holla was real. Grandma Holla was real.
Very true.
Very real. Yep. We brothers are quiet. What's going on? Dre, you here? What happened? Okay. All right, so we're going to move on. Our next hot topic for this week, something that I'm going to share. Apparently, in my in a local school district in the area, a teacher accidentally sent an email with his private parts attached to the email.
What?
There were 8 pictures. His camera, he had sent it from his phone, and it was sent to the entire school body of his private parts.
Wow.
And the school responded with an email sent out to parents asked the students not to share the emails, and it also, I mean, not to share the pictures of the email, but it also that they had dealt with him immediately. It looks like he most likely will be put on leave for a while. I think he probably was more embarrassed than anything, but dude had 8 pictures at the bottom of his email.
Ooh-wee.
This is why we all have work computers. We have work computers. My email is not attached to my phone because, number one, I don't want to read the email. When I'm off the clock, I am off the clock unless I'm doing grades. But, I found that very interesting. What are you all thoughts about this happened? I know for sure that it happened. So what are you all thoughts about this incident? What do y'all think is going to happen to him?
I'm still baffled at the whole body.
The whole what?
The whole body. Everybody.
Yeah, it was the whole student body saw this email. And the thing is, you can see his phone screen background, and you can see the pictures at the bottom, and it was like 8 pictures. And I'm like, oh my God. I feel for the man. I really do. I really feel for him.
It'd be interesting to see how they handle it.
Yes. Not only how they handle it, but, you know, what's going to come out of this. I think we as adults, we need to know how to be careful. We need, like I said, you know, we have work computers. I get it, you know, your phone might be your first thing that you grab because it's in your hand. I just believe that we have to be careful with what we put on our phone. I mean, it's our phone at the end of the day. It is our phone. We can do what we want. But I think you should be careful with sending emails from your work, from your personal phone. Just be careful, people. Be careful. Okay?
That's it.
Another hot topic is our president, during his vice presidency, took home classified materials. And as they were searching his home, they found a few classified materials in and around his home. What are you all thoughts about, first of all, the classified materials and the situation with him condemning Trump about doing this? How do you all think the Republicans are going to handle this situation about President Biden taking home classified materials?
Well,
I think
the situation is not the same. One, they didn't know they were missing. Two, they've been very cooperative, unlike President Trump, who they knew those things were missing and were looking for them for over a year. They are participating in the investigation, so we just have to see how it plays out. But if nobody even knew they were missing, maybe they weren't as classified as they thought.
Exactly.
I feel like this is what the Republicans have been looking for, is a leeway, some way to weasel in some stuff, especially being that they're still trying to push Trump, and they're so pro Trump, even though Trump doesn't have the support that he had his first go round. But I feel personally like this is going to be now a battle all the way from now to election season.
Mm-hmm. Of course it is. It's going to be like with Hillary Clinton's emails. I remember during that election, every week they were bringing up her emails. And by the time I was like, Hillary not going to win, y'all. I didn't even have faith in Hillary to win because of the whole email situation. Because I felt like they were going to fixate so much on the emails. But as they're doing a deep dive, they find out that there's nothing in her email that links her to anything bad. Y'all are just, what are y'all trying to do? Y'all trying to make her look bad?
I think the Republicans are trying to prove that they are indeed behind cancel culture.
Yes, cancel, darling, cancel.
Cancel the presidency, cancel. We're going to have a king in the United States as of the next election. We'll be under monarchy rules. We will no longer be voting for presidents because the whole political field is just falling slowly by the wayside. Minus Congresswoman Lisa Blunt Rochester. But, yeah.
Yeah. So he, I'm glad that he is cooperating and he's been giving them a hard time. Like Dr. Bertrand said, he's cooperating. His team is cooperating. They're not fixating or they're not, you know, going back and forth or doing something different. They're actually cooperating and doing what they have to do.
Right. You know, Biden is not an argumentative person.
Right.
Being the senator of the first state, I've learned that, you know, he's one of the most tolerable political figures, to me anyway, that we've had in a long time. And so he's not about the drama. He's going to say what he got to say. He's going to say it how he's going to say it. But I don't think particularly that he's all about, you know, he's not like Trump. Like, he's not looking for viewership. He's not looking for followers. He's not looking for trolls. He's not looking for ratings. You know what I mean? He's not trying to restore a TV show that will never come back on air. You know, he's one of the few to me who, I came to do this job, I'm going to do it. Okay, this bounced up, now we're going to bounce it back. And he's going to keep it flowing.
Right.
So I think that's needed in this season. We need that type of president that's just no nonsense. I don't have time for your foolishness. Let's get this done and let's keep this ball rolling. And to me, that's what makes him a great political figure, period. Not even just so much as a president, but a great political figure, period. And y'all, forgive me, I was untangling the mic and somehow it unplugged and I cannot get the mic to kick back in, so I had to actually jump back on to a whole different outlet. So I wouldn't ruin the show tonight. Learning some things.
Last week I had to do my entire show on the on my phone.
Okay. And I don't feel bad. I don't feel bad at all.
Yeah. Only because I couldn't find my mic.
Oh, no. I got it plugged in, but the stupid thing just said the heck with it. Like, I was like, what is going on? No. I was trying to fix the cord. It was my fault. Oh, no.
You know how you old people get.
Yeah. I've been around you too long because that your dementia's kicking in on top of me.
Ooh, dementia, really? Okay.
So today is God's birthday. James Earl Jones was born today in 1931.
Wow.
James Earl, who you said James Earl Jones?
Yeah.
I thought that was Morgan Freeman. I thought he was God, and James Earl Jones was Jesus. I'm just maybe I'm confused.
Either way you look at it, they both came from heaven to earth to show the way. That's all I'm saying. He's 92 years young today. Can I just say this? He looks good for 92 years old.
James Earl?
Yeah, James Earl looks pretty good for 92. You know, they don't make this type black no more. That, you know, you still got all this smoothness to you. I mean, you got gray, but, you know, that's expected when you know, when your cousin is Moses. But, you know, nonetheless, 92 is a good feat because we're not seeing people at 92 no more.
So what's this? I'm about to be messy. So what does the new black look, the old black look like? Like you said, we don't have that anymore. What does that look like? I'm interested in
what the old black, like the Cicely Tyson black that, you know, like the one, you know, Cicely served, you know, she was serving the Last Supper. And she still looked like she was in her 70s when she died. You know,
she
look
did,
at Patty. You know, Patty don't look her age. You know, Patty old.
Patty don't look her age.
And she don't look her age at all. Look at, you know, even, what's my girl's name? Angela Bassett. You know, she up there in age and she look good. Whoopi still look good. And Whoopi old as, you know, she getting about as old as Methuselah. You know, they've been around for a long time, but they're looking real good. And now it don't look like that no more. Like nowadays, you know, these new blacks, like y'all, you seen Lil Boozy?
Do you think it's because we don't take care, this generation don't take care of themselves?
I think it's because they don't take care of themselves. They don't have any regimens they follow, and they put everything they can into their bodies.
I think we need to do a show about that.
I agree. We can definitely find some skin experts, some healthcare experts, some people who I can identify with soap and water, and we can make that work.
There was a lady. She had just turned 100, and I believe she was 104 years old, or 110, mm-hmm. And she was talking about, and she this woman. To be in her 100, this woman looked like she was every bit of in her maybe her 70s, maybe late 60s, early 70s. And she talked about, you know, going to sleeping, drink plenty of water, eating right. She talked about eating right. And then she also talked about no smoking, no drinking, as that was the for her. Was the thing that really preserved her?
I think it plays a part. I mean, my great aunt, my grandfather's sister, she's 95, you know, and she doesn't, you know, she doesn't look in like she's in her 90s. My grandfather was 89 when he passed. You know, we couldn't tell. You know, I don't want to throw my mom's age out there, but she ain't no spring chicken. But you can't tell, like, you know, she's her age. I think nowadays what bothers me nowadays is until we get sick, we don't realize how important our health is.
Right.
I think that's the biggest issue nowadays. We don't believe until we get sick. And then you got the ones who get sick and don't. Okay, let me say this. I ain't got a problem with you believing that the Lord can heal, because we know that God can heal, but God is also not a fool. And you got the ones who get sick and it's like, I'm not claiming it, so I ain't taking nothing for it. And then you go on the next 6 months, you did.
Right.
You know, so I feel like if you get sick, do what needs to be done, but you can prevent yourself from getting sick if you just do basic precautions. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have to go to a gym to consider myself working out. I could take a nice long walk.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the workout, you know, especially if you live in a city that has either long blocks or hills. Like, Wilmington has a lot of hills in Wilmington. If I walk downtown, trust me. You know, and so I feel like that's the biggest thing that we have to look at is just that, you know, we've gotten into a point now where everybody is in a lazy society. We got Uber, we got Lyft, we got trains, planes, automobiles. But nobody's using their feet to get to a basic destination. Like if my destination is only a 15-minute walk, I won't hop on a bus just to make that 15-minute walk a $6 exchange for a 5-minute ride.
Right.
Well, so I would rather take the 15-minute walk, unless it's something like I'm carrying bags. Now we're
right.
not we jumping in the first lift moving.
Right. So I live near a train, MARC train station, which is an actual 20-minute walk. But I'm kind of holding off walking because, first of all, it's extremely dark when I get up and when I leave the house. So I want to kind of...
Yeah, you cannot walk. If it's not after 8:30 a.m., you will not be walking to no train station in Baltimore.
But when it's light outside, I want to try to walk. When it gets a little warm, too. That's what I'm saying. I want to wait.
And even then, I'm going to need you to have a machete and some mace.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, I'll carry a blade.
Thank you.
So I want to kind of walk because I want to start, kind of working on, losing some of this weight. But also, I have stairs in my house. And I don't have a choice. I got to go up the stairs. I got to go down the stairs. I got to go upstairs. I got to go down. So it's like you said,
that's exercise.
But Lord, my legs feel it though. I ain't gonna lie to you.
My great aunt, my grandma's sister, she was 103 teaching senior citizen aerobics. But she used to tell us, if you ever want the best exercise, go up and down your steps 20 times, and she would do that as her warm up for the day. Yeah, that part.
Well, I love them.
But let's jump back into these hot topics. Lisa Marie Presley did at 54.
Elvis' only child.
Yeah. That was a shot. Did y'all see her latest picture, though?
When she was at the Golden Globes?
Was that the Golden Globes picture I seen?
Yeah,
she didn't look good. She didn't look good.
She was slurring her words at the Golden Globes, and she was gone 2 days later. So,
right.
Yeah, they said it was cardiac arrest.
Her father and her grandfather all died from the same thing.
Wow.
So, see, once again, we're not looking at our health. Like if daddy had this heart issue and pop had a heart issue, I'm gonna need you to get this heart issue situated, baby. We can't keep saying, that was dumb, it ain't me. So even with the young man who just passed, what was that, a basketball player, I think that was like 35.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was. He just had a heart attack.
Right.
I can't think of his name. I just sent it to. It was on Facebook the other day. Basketball player dead at 35. What was it? Football? No, because that was back in July. It was one of those two. Basketball, football is one of those two. But he just had a sports player who just passed away from a heart attack, and young. And I'm like, good God, we got to do something about these heart issues. We definitely got to do something about these heart issues, that's for sure. And I've been saying it, and I'm going to probably use this platform to say it over and over again. I really believe here in the U.S. we have to include heart treatment as part of our, or at least heart checkups as part of our physical.
Right.
Like that the stethoscope is going deaf. We need to do something else besides just listen to the breathing patterns and the heart rhythms. But literally do at least an EKG of the heart to check. I think for me, For part of the physical, I think that would just change a lot of the angles of how we do things,
here in the U.S. when it comes to medical.
Happy birthday to Mary J. Blige.
Happy birthday, Mary J.
Happy birthday to Steve Harvey. His birthday is today also.
Happy birthday, Steve.
And with that being said, any other hot topics?
Not at the top of my head, bro.
No, sir.
Well, brother, in your hands there, kind sir.
All right. Good evening, everyone. I'm not going to be before you long.
You know every preacher say that.
Yes, we're not going to be here long tonight. We're going to be strong, though.
So, as a 47, almost 48-year-old man, as I really celebrate my 48th birthday on Saturday, I wanted to talk about something near and dear to what I'm experiencing as a 40-year-old, in my 40s, pushing 50, yet like really pushing it.
Real slow.
Real slow, though. Real slow. We're going to do it real slow. Dating. Now, I'm hearing people say dating is hard for anyone at any age. But I really can embrace that dating is hard in your 40s. I'm finding that many people either date very young or they date in the middle, but they never date like the next age. So people will date either in their 20s, people will date in their 30s, but as you start pushing 40, it's kind of hard to start dating. And again, I will say this about myself, and I will share this, and I think I said it last week. I have not dated in almost 23 years. And if I don't find a body by June, it'll be 23 years in June. So I've been kind of wrestling with what does dating look like, because there's all these apps. There's apps. There are meetups. I mean, there's so many things that are out here. But how do we even begin this process of dating when you are older? I feel as if one of the things that I found to be the most frustrating things about dating is dating someone, getting to know, the whole process of getting to know someone. I grew up in the 90s, so I grew up in the 80s and the 90s, which I felt was a more easier time to date in the 2000s. By 2000, I was an adult. By the 90s, I was still in high school, a young adult. By the time we got to like, the 2001s, 2s, 3s, 4s, 5s. I had totally had given up on dating because everything started changing. We got the app started to come into play. Dating had almost become non-existent because it also dealt with you. If you went on a date, it was equivalent to you having sex. That's what date was. So I'm trying to figure out where the whole dating culture has gone. Where is it going? And then where is it going? Because we kind of lost it somewhere. We kind of are lost. And maybe I'm the one that's lost. I don't know. I feel like a fish out of water. So navigating the dating pool has been difficult. But it's also been extremely interesting.
So, why do you feel like it's interesting?
So we got the whole ghosting. We got the whole getting to know people. And then you know people, you get to know them, and then the ghosting happens. Or you you talk to them, then the ghosting happens after you talk to them. Now, I have been guilty of ghosting people. Now, let me be clear. I'm really going to get myself in trouble. Y'all need to stop me because y'all just let me keep talking.
This is interesting.
I've been guilty of ghosting people, but only ghosting them because I just felt like it wasn't going anywhere.
Okay.
Was I wrong? I mean, Help me out, y'all. If somebody wants to call
in. So you wouldn't think that if it wasn't working to just say, you know, this ain't working?
I did.
But?
I did, but I just lost interest. I felt like I lost interest on a lot of things. Like, I lost interest in... I think I lost
interest... You wouldn't interest. Just say I lost interest?
listen, I'm admitting my wrong here. Yes, I think I should have... said, listen, I'm not interested. But I felt like when you say that, people get angry and upset and mad. Like, they get mad at you. But I don't think... I don't agree with ghosting people, so let me be clear. I don't think that's right. That's karmatic. So that karma will come back to you. So I don't think that's right. But I also think that how do you begin to even date again after, first of all, a long hiatus? But how do you date in this culture of dating now? Like, it's so many rules, it's so much, and I'm a simple 90s, 80s person. It's not the 90s or the 80s. Or the 80s, I was a kid. But definitely the 90s, I was a teenager. How do we date? How do you date in this culture?
I believe the apps, to me, that's mistake number one. And I say that in two parts, okay? It could be a good thing. But I do believe that it depends on the type of app you meet the person on. Like, I believe you can't meet somebody on a whole app and expect to have a housewife or a husband in the end, especially if you want a whole app. I believe that would be your first mistake, is you look for love in the wrong place. I do believe that the tradition of dating is slowly becoming extinct. I do believe that people do not understand the concept of dating anymore, as far as going out on an actual date. Nowadays, I feel like people are too attached to phones and to internet and to social media. So even when you're on a date, I feel like if we can't pay attention to each other, this is not a date. We just hanging out. And I do believe nowadays, especially for people that were born like mid-90s and up, I think they make it harder for themselves when it comes to dating.
Okay.
Because they are this is such a lackadaisical generation of, if it happens, it happens, so let it happen type thing. And I'm not knocking that concept of thought. What I do knock is you will mess around and miss something great trying to wait for something to happen. So I do believe that we're in a season that we need to go back to teaching our younger people that's not the 80s, and you know, that wasn't growing up in the 80s and in the earlier parts of the 90s, the concept of dating. But I also feel like we also need to allow people to experience life for themselves, because a lot of people's concepts of dating is based upon what they've seen in their own families. And a lot of things aren't, like, to me, those are concepts that we shouldn't have. I met someone back in college that was just like, you know, I'm looking for, like something like my grandma got, where she was with the person for like 2 weeks and they ended up getting married. And I said, oh, okay, well, you let me know that turned out for you. Because I ain't it. I just feel that, you know, in this era where we are now, especially, I do feel that we have gotten away from true dating. I feel like everything now is a Netflix and chill era. I feel like people are more concerned nowadays about, how soon can we have sex before they're concerned about how long would this even last in a relationship, or am I even looking for a relationship? I feel that we put too much emphasis on the wrong things. We don't look for building anymore in relationships. We just look at, as long as I got somebody I can call my boo or my bae or my girlfriend or my boyfriend, I'm okay. But we don't have the concept anymore of strong foundation, you know. And it seems like nowadays more than ever, the foundation isn't laid until she gets knocked up. Then it's like, oh, I got a baby coming. I guess I better wife her. You know what I mean? Like, so it's like now you only wifing because, you know, she didn't pull out a shotgun. Like, you know, I just feel like nowadays we have to go back to true concepts of dating. And then, you know, don't change us for the dating pool. Like, if you weren't raised on that app, don't lose yourself in that. You know what I mean? But we also, I feel like when people are in their 40s and their 50s, they're scared to date. They're scared to get out there. They're scared to go to different places, like, you know, lounges. Or even a friend of mine met his wife actually through he was on a, what is the name of that app? It's an app that you can meet people that's like you, that's interested in the same type of things you're interested in, and you go to different events that they're hosting.
Exactly.
And
they're like
Meetup. Yes. It was Meetup. He met his wife. Actually, he was on Meetup. He went to a art show or a poetry night, actually it was. And that's where he met his wife at, was at the poetry night. And I thought that was hot because it was something that's different. And then now they didn't switch their Meetup from single to couples events to keep their relationship growing stronger. So I really feel like that one, to me is an awesome thing to do. Like, I would love to experience that more often, to see couples who actually find different things and learn about each other, because she's a little different than him. Like, she likes she likes a lot of different things that he was never into. So they you know, every week they bounce to a different event based upon one of their likes to learn more about each other. And I just feel like that, to me, that's deep.
Yeah. I think you are correct in saying, I don't want to talk about me this whole podcast. I want somebody to call in. I want you to call in if you are in your 40s or older and you are having issues dating and you want to share your story. Please call in at 319-527-6083. That's 319-527-6083. That's my radio voice. I do agree with you that I find it, yes, I'm in my 40s. I am a little nervous to step out of my comfort zone. And I think that's where we get trapped up, is we're scared to step out of our comfort zone because, again, we feel when you are more mature, it's just certain areas just don't feel right. And I feel like one of the things, as a 40 in my over 40 years old, I feel like it's that comfort zone. Like, this, some things feel comfortable, some things don't feel comfortable. And but unfortunately, that's the part that kind of stagnates us when it comes to dating, is we won't step out of our comfort zone because we're afraid to venture to something new.
So let me ask you this too. What is the youngest and the oldest you would date? You know, you just said something key to me. You're in your 40s. So as a 40, almost 50 plus person, what would be like the youngest versus the oldest you would date?
So I'm gonna be honest with you. I wouldn't date anyone in their early 20s. Only because I would feel like I'm taking care of someone, and y'all know my story. Y'all know how I am when it comes to y'all pray for me. So the youngest I would date probably now would be in their early to mid 30s. I would date someone in my age bracket. The oldest I would date, I would not go past 60, because I would feel like I'm dating my parents. My parents are in their 60s. So I wouldn't date anyone past, like, 60. 60 is my cutoff, but definitely no one past 60. Because, you know, because you don't, it's kind of, this is the kind of double edged sword. You don't want to date anyone too young that feels like a little brother or sister, but you don't want to date no one too older that feels like a parent.
Right.
Or someone you got to push around in a
in a wheelchair.
Yeah, you got to get, hey, baby, give me my walker over there, you know.
Come on, Jethro.
You know, why is this oatmeal so chewy? I needed it. You know, you don't want to date that because you don't, you know.
Why is this oatmeal so chewy?
You don't have to go to the store and pick up some Depends, you know what I'm saying? You know, just.
I feel you. Javon, what about you? Like, what would be the oldest versus youngest you would date?
Honestly, I've always been more attracted to older, because I find people my age are boring. Well, the ones I've been with, I put it that way. Because even as we've been talking, I've been thinking about this. We've lost the art of communication. And one of the things that is always going to be top priority for me is, can you hold a conversation? Can we do more than talk about TikTok trends? Can we do more than talk about popular culture? Can I have a conversation with you about things that are affecting lives, as well as fun things? But if I can't talk to you about politics and religion and art, I don't want to talk to you. So I would personally prefer somebody a little older than me, 40s, 50s, not too old, because, again, don't want to date my mama.
I feel you.
Yeah, because I feel like when you date, and then I think you, what you said is, I think the issue that Dr. B and I have is that, and I'm not saying you, this is your thing, but intellectually, you want someone that can stimulate you more than just sexually. You want someone to stimulate you intellectually as well. Like, we should be able to hold conversations about, I feel like I can hold conversations about anything pop culture related, anything, you know, anything in around it. But I also, there are sometimes I want to talk about other things. I want to talk about how to build a house, how to do, you know, what my plans for the future. And I feel like with certain age brackets, they're not there yet because they're still trying to embrace and then getting to know themselves. And but I also feel like even in my 40s, I'm still getting to know myself, but with a little bit more maturity. I know I don't like certain things, but that's not mean I, you know, I remember being in my 30s in my 20s and being very stringent about what I like and what I didn't like. If I didn't like it, I didn't like it. But I was starting to find out in my 40s, I'm willing to try it. And if I don't like it, I don't like it. I ate watermelon. I never liked watermelon. I never ate cantaloupe. I never ate honeydew. Okay. And one day I decided to try it. I still am not keen on that watermelon.
Because you're not really black.
The honeymoon, and I am black. The honeydew and the cantaloupe, I tried it. I kind of like the taste, but I still, that's not a fruit I would eat all the time. That's not a fruit, that wouldn't be my go-to fruit.
And
so,
And part of dating is, one, knowing, am I dating for companionship or am I dating to get married?
Yeah.
Is this somebody I can grow with? Is this somebody that's going to be patient with me? Not that I just feel like I'm going to be making a million mistakes, but if I'm learning and you learning me, we might bump heads. It doesn't mean that we got to stop dating, but of what it is to date the other person. I think a lot of times we don't do well because we don't define what we're looking for, and once we define it, we don't know how to verbalize it to other people. We're dating people, and they don't have a clue what we're looking for. We do what we want them to read our minds. It's unfair.
Right.
Absolutely.
I think that when you date, younger than you, you always feel a sense that you have to take care of someone.
I don't agree with that.
I know you don't agree. That's why I said it. But I'm just saying for me, I think that's my own personal issue, because I'm a giver by nature, so I always want to help. But that's my deal, and I need to work on that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I need to work on that.
I mean, I think it's good, like, if you're in a relationship. I do believe, like, if you're in a relationship, then there should be a thing where you are cool with, you know, with assisting. Like, to me, I feel like that's a needed thing. When it comes to a relationship, it shouldn't be an issue of, you know, okay, you know, my significant other needs assistance with something. I can do it, so I'm going to do it. I do believe that I do believe in this time of day, this day and age, I do believe that we are in a point now where people don't understand that concept. I think we have a lot more people now in relationships are more about what can I get out of the deal.
Mm-hmm.
Like for me, my relationship before the current one I'm in, it was always a thing of, you know, need or give. I want. It was never a thing to me where I could remember even receiving a card. You know, like a happy birthday card or a, you know, thank you for being you, you know, even a note, a text to just say thank you for being you. It was always a what can I get out of the deal type thing. And so that's why, like, before the current relationship I'm in now, I took so long off from dating because I was just like, it's no sense in me to try to even jump back in the field. This is all we're getting. It's the same, you know, it's always the same thing because I went through that 3 times in a row. And I had to ask myself, like, why do I keep attracting people who can't even just say thank you for being you? Now, in my current relationship, I'm dating younger, which is different for me because it's a lot of ups, it's a lot of downs. It's a lot of things that I don't think is understood. So I feel like it's a power, I won't say a power struggle, but I do sometimes feel like it's like a, ooh, this is going to become an argument type thing for me. Because y'all know me. Y'all know I'm headstrong. Y'all know I'm it's so funny I was talking about dating in your 40s in the episode of Living Single that's on is the episode when Max was dating Brendan, who was played by what's the boy's name? Lucius.
Terrence Howard.
Yeah, when he actually looked his age, because now he's another one that looks old. But I do feel like, you know, nowadays it's definitely it's like a woo moment with the whole, sometimes I feel like Bertrand said, the art of communication is so powerful and we miss it. And that's the part that kills us. We got a caller on the line. I mean, let's get our caller's take. Thank you for tuning in on tonight. Thanks for tuning in on tonight. What's your name and what's your take on tonight's topic?
Hey, everybody, it's Bishop Vaughn Moore. How y'all doing?
Is that Bishop Vaughn?
Hey. So I just not too long chimed in, and I was listening about the dating older, dating younger, and it's not a responsibility, but what has happened in the age difference is that it's an enabling thing. We allow the younger ones to have an expectation of us to take care of them, and we have to explain to them that we are not a father and we're not a father figure. Our responsibility is that we be compatible and be like a building with a sure foundation, that we support one another. We have allowed the younger generation, or the ones who are younger than us, to put this expectation on us, and we run with it instead of saying, hey, wait a minute. I am not your sugar daddy. I am not your sugar mama. We are in this together. There is, you know, we fail in our relationship because we do a 30-70 or a 20-80 or a 50-50, but we don't do a 100-100. And I say that
say
to
that
mean
again.
That we give the best that we can give. If we have $100 rent and your 100% is $30, then give your $30 or whatever it may be, but we have to be in these relationships, and we have to give a two-way street expectation that is 100-100, not 30-70, 50-50, 20-80, and that's where we fail, no matter what the age is.
That's some great insight, because I think he's right. We don't come into this with 100-100. We come into it with 50-50. And then, but what if something happens to the other 50 and you have to take up the 50 and you have to be the 100?
Well, that's the thing. If you're coming in 50-50, you're already holding back half of your potential.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
That's something I live by. If we're in a relationship, we're both giving 100%. If you can't commit to 100%, I can't commit to you. You know, and I'm always big on that. But it also still goes back to something that Bishop Moore just said too, is we have to learn to communicate the explanation, set the boundaries, and set the expectations early. You know, like, you know, I like the scripture, man don't work, he don't eat, because I hold that to myself. I hold that accountable to me. If I don't have a job, I'm homeless.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I'm in debt if I don't have a job. You know, and with today's society and eggs costing more than coochie, we barely survive in now. So these are the things we got to look at. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I can get crap cheaper than I can get eggs. This is a problem.
Right.
And so if it's already a struggle, then and that takes us back to what I was saying. We live in this culture where people are now, especially some of our younger generations, they are more concerned about what are you giving me versus what can I bring to the table to make sure that we grow stronger and that we survive.
Right. And, you know, we let them know oftentimes, I don't need you to bring to the table because the table is already set. What we just need to add to the table together. If we don't have a table,
right,
let's build the table together. Let's add
right.
the chair. Let's build this house together. And it's more than these relationships is more than just financial. You know,
mm-hmm.
you have to give me 100% of your prayer life. Pray with me and for me. You give me 100% of whatever, and don't make me a convenience now. Because when you have this expectation that you have to take care of me, I only see you when I need you. So I can't be your convenience. There has to be
right. Right.
So many, that 100% is so many facets to that relationship. Communication, prayer time, dinner time, movie time, layup time, chill time, communication time,
right.
family time. That 100% even includes a balance.
Yeah.
A balance. So it all starts with that communication that does not necessarily set boundaries but set expectations. And in that 100% of expectations, if that person is not able to meet them at that moment and you see potential in each other, then you work with each other to get them there to that 100%, no matter
right.
what it is.
So that brings me to this question then. Do you feel nowadays people actually believe in working towards a common goal when it comes to relationships?
Well,
like this now generation that we're in now, the times of today. I won't say the generation per se, but even the people, because there are some jacked up 60 and 70 year olds out here.
There are.
You know, and there's some jacked up 40 and 50 year olds out here. So in the times that we are living in today, do you feel people are actually capable, or are they even willing to come to a relationship and say, let's build this foundation together, or let us reason, like let us come together with a common goal, and then we work on how we can achieve this goal, you know, and we go forward from there? Or do you feel like today's generation is all about, if you can, I won't?
Well, I believe that if we take the word work out, because work can be very strenuous, work can be very demanding, work can be very stressful, work can be so many various things, that if we take the word work out of the relationship and just let that relationship happen instead of working on the relationship, work on you, if the relationship will happen.
So, but here's the.
But I don't want to feel like
here's the thing. If you have the job that you like, work could actually be fun.
Work can be fun.
I think for me, it would be all on how you define the word work. Because to me, everything we do requires work. If I'm taking a shower, that requires work. If I'm at the gym, that requires work. So I feel like it's not so much as taking out the word work. I feel like it's how you define the word work.
Well, the reason why I say that, because when I think of, of work, I think of hitting a clock. Like there's a set amount of time that is designated for this relationship. I'm not going to be put into no box of set amount of hours for us to be in a relationship. I want this relationship to happen, be it with a 45-year-old or a 60-year-old or a 25-year-old. I want this relationship to happen. I don't want you to punch a clock to be with me, because I'm not punching one to be with you.
Right.
Okay.
That's why I say
work. I feel you. That sounds good.
So it opens the door to be more. So it opens the door to be more flexible, because I feel like we're stringent and this has to go this way. This has to go this way. We gotta do this. We gotta do that. And like he said earlier, building together. Like if one of us has the table, maybe the other one got the chairs. But if we both don't have the chairs or the table, let's build it together. But that doesn't. It means that we build the table at our own speed. We're not holding ourselves to time, because I feel like a lot of times with relationships, we time things. Oh, in 6 months, we're going to be here. In 7 months, we're going to be here. In a year, we're going to do this. In 10 years, we're going to do, you know, like you time yourself, but instead of just taking it slow. And he said, enjoying the relationship, enjoying it and making it fulfilling, because the podcast says finding a fulfilling relationship. Some of us are not fulfilled because we're not making it fulfilled, because we are putting demands and we're putting time constraints and time limits on the relationships. And I feel like, I know we're talking about romantic, but even within our platonic relationships, we're putting time constraints on people that are unrealistic, when we just need to let things happen naturally.
Agreed. If whatever expectation that we have of someone, see if we ourselves can fulfill it first.
Right.
Yeah. Now that I am big on. I can't expect you to do nothing I can't do myself.
Exactly.
Yeah, because and I was always, that's something I was always taught. My grandfather was big on that. If you can't do it, don't you demand nobody else to do it.
That's right.
You know. Now let me ask you this. What happens with the folk who have unrealistic expectations on themselves? Because, you know, like, we got some people, you know, let's be real. We got some people who come into relationships and they got champagne ideas with Kool-Aid money.
So we, know,
you know, or... they live in a way that they're not able to handle. You know, you want to stay in a 5-star hotel, but you got a motel budget. Like, what do we do in these cases? And I find this to be more of the older than I do the younger.
Mm-hmm. As I said earlier, I think one of the things that I had to realize and look at is, maybe I am setting some unrealistic expectations or wanting people to be something that I may not be, that I'm not. I had to look at what expectations I was setting for navigating this dating pool for myself. Because, okay, for instance, me communicating. There are times I don't often communicate. And y'all know this. I don't often communicate consistently. So am I willing to tell somebody, you got to talk to me every day? It's like NeNe Leakes said that time, when I text you text me immediately. But am I willing to give the same grace if someone texts me and I don't respond? And that's
right.
My unrealistic expectation. So I have to look in within myself and say, okay, what am I not willing to do, or what do I know I need to work on? Because it's about me working on making sure that I can handle what I'm putting out.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm
right.
Just saying, for me, I'm looking at it from my perspective, being the single one over 40. Like, I'm demanding people, or what I'm requiring of people, am I also giving what I'm requiring? And a lot of us that are older, we don't give what we're requiring, but we get mad at others when they don't meet the expectations that we are, but we're doing the very same thing.
Listen, call us real quick. There is still time if you want to call in and jump in on this conversation. I would even like to hear from somebody who may be younger dating an older person. 319-527-6083, 319-819-6083 is the call-in line. But, yeah, I agree. I think we have to – to me, it's all about balance. Like, if we can balance each other and where I can see, like, where I'm not strong, you're strong, or where you're not strong, I'm strong, and we allow each other to help each other grow, I think it's like the greatest feeling ever. I think that's the biggest thing today I've learned, is a lot of people, if I don't know it, I don't want you, because you know it, I don't want you to help. And I feel like you kind of put a damper on yourself if that's your judgment of how you live in. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like sometimes it's okay to say, I need you on this part to help me get to where I'm trying to go, because I know I can't do it.
But can I ask a question?
Help us.
Yeah.
Can I? So why do we feel like we have to balance each other? What if we, and I'm asking this question from a pure place. Why does it feel like we have to be balanced to, like, we have to look at where one is greater and one's lesser? Why can't we just come to the same?
Not so much as lesser. What I'm saying is,
I didn't get to say
that. I'm sorry. Go ahead, because you said lesser. Go ahead.
I didn't get to finish.
You said lesser.
I know. I said lesser, but I mean, let me just say it like this. Why do we feel like we have to be? We have to balance each other out. Because I feel like if there's one area where I am less strong in, then how do we together come to the, not that I need to be balanced, but what's the, how are we going to get there together? Because this is a relationship. Like, I feel like with you and Dr. B, y'all kind of, where I am not strong, you all give me the strength to be strong in certain areas. So where you've been around me the longest. So, you know, there were certain areas of my life I wasn't very, very strong. But talking and being around you helped me to be strong. And I don't feel like, but it was because I kind of leaned on you. So I hope I'm making sense. I'm leaned on you. But I feel like, mm-hmm. why do we have to kind of balance each other out? Because maybe that's what we need. We need that unbalance to kind of help us know where we need to go.
Here's my thing. But once you get to the unbalanced portion and you lean, after a while, you're able to stand in it. You're able to stand completely on your own, right?
True.
So that's where the balance part comes in. It's not so much as saying you don't need me no more. It's saying let me help you get to the point where you're able to stand, and then like, because my thing I always said is I never will walk in front of anyone I'm dating. I will always walk side by side with them. And the reason I always say that is because in my feeble mind of thinking, I believe if I see you falling and I'm in front of you, I can't catch you.
Okay.
And if I'm behind you, depending on how many steps I am behind you, I just might miss you falling. But if I'm walking side by side with you, none of us is greater. None of us is less than. We're both equal, and I don't have to worry about you falling because I'm walking side by side with you. And so, like, I feel like in today's, like, you know, in the infinity of today, I feel like we want to prove too much of, well, I'm the provider. I'm this, I'm that, you know, and I'm one of those people, I don't believe in those terms, you know, and so I've gotten to a point where it's like, you know, why don't we just, instead of us having a provider, why don't we just get it, like, why don't we do what we do? As far as, you know, there's no provider in a relationship, but there is a, you know, okay, he took care of the rent. I'm taking care of the cable and the electric. So as far as, like, the balance portion, I feel like if I've never encountered life to – I've never reached for my own goals before because every time I reach, I fall. And I got mm-hmm. somebody that I can lean on, or I got somebody, and using your words, your wording, I got someone I can lean on. That person is going to help me get to the point where I'm able to say, you know what, I can really do this. And so that would help me. That would do a couple of things for most people. One, it would then say, okay, I don't have to worry about what no one else thinks about this because I see what this person is doing for myself.
Right.
And then, two, it would help me say, okay, cool. You know, now that I can see what I'm able to do, I appreciate my significant other a hell of a lot more because they opened the door that I've never seen before myself. You know what I mean? Like, they opened some things up that I've never witnessed for myself.
Right.
You know, if I may, because this is your podcast, I believe that with balancing balancing is not always strengthening. Sometimes it's
right.
educating, mm-hmm. and it brings about it helps you to become more wise. Because you are wiser does not mean you are always stronger.
Right, exactly.
I would rather a person have more wisdom than strength, because you can help us. We can help us think through it. Yeah, you may be strong enough to pick up the car and move it around and move the refrigerator or whatever else. But if your mind is strong and your wisdom, you can navigate things. We can navigate things differently. So the balance is not always for strength, but it's for wisdom.
For wisdom. Okay.
Yeah.
And balance is kind of like, you know, we were talking about the table. If we are not balanced, then we have a weak leg at the table.
Mm-hmm.
I can't, to Apostle Harris' point.
I can't lean on that side of the table because it's going to give way. But when you have the wisdom to recognize that that leg is weak, you one of us is going to tighten it up, and now we can lean again. So
right.
We don't always need the strength. We need the wisdom.
Right. Okay.
Well, brothers, this is a very enlightening talk tonight. I'm back to my radio voice. thank you to our guests who joined us tonight. We were hoping that we could get someone who's dating who's younger dating someone older, but I'm willing to do this topic again, just with the older versus younger, or older dating old.
I'm only 20.
I'm going to be quiet on that note. Okay, you're only 20. Okay, you're only 20. All right. Well,
30 years ago.
Pop him in the mouth. Pop him in the mouth. He's so far in the mouth. But I think tonight's discussion was very enlightening. Those of you that are listening now and maybe after we're done, please, if you have some comments or anything that you want to share with us, please, and you can inbox us, you can write it on the Brothers Podcast Facebook page. We would love to hear from you. We would love to hear from you. Okay, we'd love to hear from you. This has been a very enlightening topic.
Did you say we'd love to hear from you? Did you say we'd love to hear from you?
Yeah, we would love. I mean, love it. I mean, we'd love it, right? You guys make us, like, you guys are making us have the numbers, and you guys are making us want to do this every Tuesday. So we definitely would love to have you on.
Got her moving into
this. So, brothers, I'm done with this topic. If anybody else has anything they want to say, our final comments, final whatever, y'all hope I made this year. Oh, before I go, I made this year the year to start the whole dating process or going on, maybe going on some dates. Maybe even if it's just going to a meetup or getting out of my comfort zone, because I think what was said earlier. I think it's comfort zone for me. I was always very shy, so I'm trying to break out of my shyness in all areas of my life. So keep your fingers crossed, y'all. Keep your fingers crossed.
And you can't be shy and say it. So,
what you say?
I don't know about the always shy part.
No, what was that last part you said? Did you say I was fast?
I said you can't be shy and fast.
I will deal with you after this podcast. I want the people to hear what I'm going to say to you. I am not fast. Very slow.
Anymore. You can deliver.
Delivered. And Sandu.
I gotta get Chocolate Divinity up on one of these conversations. I'm going to inbox her. I'm going to get her up on one of these conversations.
Please.
I think tonight she would definitely... I don't think she's over 40, but I think she would definitely given us some key stuff.
Yes.
Something about being fast, Maurice.
And it would be helpful if we had a female perspective. I'm not paying Josh no attention. A female perspective. I'm going to call you after this is over.
I was just saying.
Mhm, mhm. What's our topic for next week?
We got to ask the brother.
Okay.
Javon, you back?
I'm here. I don't know. We'll announce it.
You was quiet. We was nervous.
Yeah, you was quiet, bro. You was very quiet on this topic tonight.
That's because I'm not 40.
Oh, Maurice, he coming for you.
Praise
I let my elder brothers handle that.
I mean, well, you know, Dre, you are in your 40s.
I just got here, thank you.
Is it a slow drive?
Oh, you're moving up like the Jeffersons.
Yes, I'm moving on up. I will, again, I will be 48 on Saturday.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, and that means that then the next year, I'm right at pushing 50, right up that hill. So we'll be right
any moment now, you can be walking around looking like Noel Jones.
Wow.
Yeah, we're going to talk after this podcast is over. I've got a fight in my spirit.
Oh, no. You know, he's one of the longest reigning bishops ever, you know.
Ooh. It was great to have our guest, special guest on tonight, the bishop.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight. We applaud you. We loved your insight on tonight, and thank you so much.
That was so churchy.
It was so what?
Churchy. I said on tonight.
Well, you know, he came in churchy. He came in throwing
right,
titles.
He came
all
in churchy.
Board and stuff.
He
yeah.
came in with the bishop hat on.
Yeah, he made sure he let y'all know he is a bishop all day long. But I thank him for tuning in on tonight. He had to text me. I can't call in. I said, you must ain't heard the number right. Let me text it to you. I'm surprised our friend to the show didn't call in because this is her type of topic talk.
Right. That's why we.
Yeah.
But I think Janelle said, hey, I'm going to give y'all a break tonight.
That's our friend. Yeah. I know that's right. Listen, guys, we are slowly moving this thing forward, but we are excited that you guys tuned in. We thank you guys for always being great listeners to our friends of the show, our new friend of the show, Bishop Moore. We thank you for tuning for coming on tonight. We thank you for those who are listening, those in Apple Podcast land, those in iHeart Podcast land, those on Blog Talk Radio, which is where we currently reside. We're so excited that you guys are a part of this episode, a part of this show, a part of our lives. Like Maurice said, tune in, but also like, subscribe, share, send us your thoughts. Let us know your comments. You can definitely rate us on Apple. You can rate us on iHeart. You know, we try and get an NAACP award next year, you know, or at least a nomination. Hint. So we BET Hip Hop Award something. You know, it ain't gotta be, you know, big. You know, it could be a Soul Train Award. But we definitely we thank you guys for all of your support, all of your listening ears, all of your responses. We thank all of our friends on Facebook and on Instagram. You can check us out there. The Brothers Podcast is our handle. You can definitely continue to look at us or listen to us on Blog Talk. Even when we're not on, we are about two episodes deep for this season. I think we got 8 episodes from last season. So we definitely got enough content to give you at least a good 2 days worth of listening right now. But we want you guys to let us know what you think. And we also want to know which way you want us to take the show's direction. You know, what topics would you like us to discuss? We got a lot of things coming up this season so far. Sex in the Church, I think, is going to be one that pops. Finding your greater. And it's a lot of things we got that we're discussing this season. We come deep. We come heavy. We come lighthearted. We come fun. But at the end of the day, we make sure that you love what you're listening to and that you continue to love on us as much as we love on y'all. Until next time,
yeah.
All the way from the city of brotherly love, Javon Ramon's in the building. That's the doctor of all of the PHY words. And then we have
the doctor of the classroom all the way from Baltimore. You got to be more careful, Maurice, in the building. And I'm your boy from the first state, Andre. We thank y'all for coming out on tonight.
Thank
and
you.
And we'll see y'all next episode.
Next Tuesday. Have a good one.